Hello, and welcome to the Fire Officer Project Podcast, a show where we will discuss and learn together about topics specific to the American Fire Service. Come along as we explore areas such as firehouse traditions and culture, the fire family life, leadership, as well as getting yourself ready to be the company officer. This show is for everyone from the rookie firefighter to newly promoted officers. I'm your host, Mark McCurdy. Now let's get on with the show. Well, hello and welcome to episode 21. It's been a while, as usual, since I put something out. Just trying to make it all fit in here. No excuses, just moving forward. I don't even know why I attempt to do this stuff without grabbing a cup of coffee. I always think that, oh, I can just do it with water and I'm good to go. But you know what? I'm going to grab my little crutch here and my little afternoon coffee while I knock this out while I'm waiting for the kids to get home from school. And so episode 21. Control your future. I was going to say control your destiny, but then you guys might find out what a Star Wars nerd I could be. But anyways, I'm in that right wheelhouse for that age-wise. Anyways, so control your future. This is going to be a wide angle of people that I'm trying to capture on this episode. It isn't very specific to people that are getting ready to promote, although it will touch on that. And I'm not going to say and go, okay, this is for you that are about to promote, this is for you who are promoted, and these are for this is for you who are new. Just take the information, let it fit where it fits into your life, and go from there. Obviously, this is my opinion from an operational point of view. I currently work for a large agency. I worked for a smaller one before, and I'll talk about a little bit of my background as we start peeling back these layers. But operational point of view, 30,000 foot type view. So not only is the group of people I'm trying to capture kind of wide, but I think you'll grab a piece from each one of these. And as I look at it after I highlighted and wrote my notes out, it's pretty much all encompassing depending on where you're at. And it can capture paid departments, combos, volunteers, however it may work. Just know that I'm a little bit kind of a big wide brush on this one. But I will get down into some intricacies on based on a few of the subjects. So instead of giving you a 5-minute diatribe of what's been going on and all that, I'll leave that to the end. I'll just jump right in. So controlling your future, what am I talking about? Basically, this type of topic comes up when in my department we're testing for captain, which used to be every 2 years, then once a year, now we're down to every 6 months. And that's pretty new. So I'm not harping on it too much, but when you have people on your crew, which I do, that are in that process, or even in your battalion, other stations that are around you, however it may be, and you know that, okay, a test is coming out, it's kind of in the air, then things come to my mind, and then this stuff pops in my head, usually in the morning when I'm driving, so I got to sit there and either type it down in notes or write it down points, because if I don't, I'll forget, and then I just want to bring these things up. So that's kind of where this one jumped out is we're in that testing process again. And what the number one thing I think of when the first subject line that came to mind was don't be concerned with what others are doing. So if you've listened to all the episodes that I've put out, all the previous episodes, some of this stuff might be repeated, but with a little more time and experience of me doing this, maybe I'll say it a different way or a better way or resonates a little better. The delivery's a little better, possibly. I don't know. But so some of these things might be repeated. But if you're jumping in here, maybe some of this is new to you. The biggest thing I think I see encompassing when people are getting ready to promote is they're worried about what others are doing to justify or motivate them, I guess, to promote or push forward or do whatever that stuff is. Try not to do that. Yes, can it be a factor? Sure. You can use it as a little bit of fuel to get you going. But if you're solely putting your fuel on that or that's what's pushing you, it's not going to last very long. Worry about yourself. And that's kind of sometimes different, right? Because we operate in this team-like atmosphere and we're worried about each other and all that. But ultimately, internally, we all worry about ourselves first. We just may not voice it. You know what I'm saying? So don't worry about what other people are doing. Worry about what you're doing, what works for you, where you're at in life. At work, at your department, outside of your department, your goals, all that stuff. I'm going to break it down so I don't want to venture off too far. But each of us has a different background, not only when we entered the fire service based on your age, and then all the other stuff that you did prior to getting hired and your experience in life from that whole time. But what I'm trying to say is don't think that you need to rush to promote. Go at your pace. Be ready and do it at your pace, not using other people as your determining factor. And I'll swing back around to that in a little bit. But if you're solely basing the reason to promote on because so-and-so got promoted, I need to promote. Yes, once again, that can be another small little motivating factor. But those couple of promote as fast as you can or being worrying about what others are doing and looking at them and going, well, I should do it because they are, or I need to do it because they promoted this Yahoo, and so now I need to do it. Okay, I'll give you a small little factor that can be motivating. But it shouldn't be your only reason. Like, I've said this before on here, or maybe I've just said it to other people throughout my career. I never thought I would promote from being a firefighter paramedic. I love that job. In fact, I did it for 14 years combined with my previous department and the current one I work for now. Firefighter paramedic for 14 years, and then decided, all right, maybe I'll look at driving or engineer, what we have at our department called an engineer, and take that promotion test. Okay. And I'll pull this back a little bit more so you have some context to what I'm talking about. But I'm sure I had taken the captain's written in between those 14 years and never processed the rest of it. Didn't pass one time on the written. So yeah, I'm not saying don't set yourself up for success by getting yourself ready. What I'm saying is look at it at your pace. So I'll give you another one. Go at your pace, but look at a long-term goal. So it's very easy to just go day by day, right? Most of us work in a 24-hour period, 24 operational period. And it's kind of like we go through our day. It's kind of laid out for us. Obviously, incidents and trainings and things like that are kind of change it around. But for the most part, there's kind of a structure to it. And we kind of just get through the time and all of a sudden, you know, like, oh, crap, it's already summer. It's already fall. It's already the next year. It's your anniversary date of getting on the job. Now you've clicked off another year. Like, don't live like that. I'm definitely telling you don't do that, because by the time you know it, it will be 14 years. And all of a sudden you're scrambling to promote because you're burnt out. Things change, and now all of a sudden your goals aren't met. So go at your pace, but take some time, whether you pause this right now and go do it, or after this, or you write it on your to-do list, but start looking at your long-term goal. Now take where you're at in this department, in your career, and figure out where do you want to be. If you're at the beginning of your career, okay, we can touch on a few things, and I'm going to talk about experience and touch on you guys that are new to the job, people that have been around a minute, and maybe near the end. If you're near the end, like I have about 6 years left, I have one more goal I might want to accomplish, so I'm going to plan for that long-term a little bit in a short-term goal thing, but I've basically achieved where I wanted to be on my goals, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but look at where you want to be. And I know I've said this one before. If you want to be the fire chief of your department or a department down the road, then you have a little bit more compressed goal that you need to get to based on experience or education, however that situation may be for you. But I also think don't cut yourself short. Meaning, if you're saying to yourself, this is it, I'm good, I want to be a firefighter the rest of my career, totally good. Senior firefighters are a much needed piece of the fire service that's needed. And the amount of them is actually what appears to me trending away from that. It just seems like people are promoting fast and moving up in a more accelerated path than I've ever seen. But that could just be my opinion. But it's somewhat valid. Just basically from speaking to people in my department, seeing it, speaking with other people in other departments, and just looking at how hiring is going, I'm going to say I'm somewhat in the ballpark on that one. So my point is, pick a goal where you might be able to be. Let's just say captain. Wherever you're at in your career now, and you say, one day I want to be a captain, I need to go from A, B, C, and then get to D, which would be the captain rank, fine. I would also suggest maybe aiming one rank or two ranks past that, just in case you decide, like, all of a sudden, hey, I want to do that, and you're not scrambling at the end. Like, if I was to look at myself and go, all I ever wanted to be after a while was be a captain, after I thought it and late into my career finally decided to fix my goals. But now I might consider, oh, do I want to promote to battalion chief? No, not really. I don't. But should I set myself up? 6 years is short, but at the same time, a long time. If I get to a point where I'm a detriment physically to doing my job, do I need to look at another position to get me in a different spot? Or do I promote up higher, take some of that physical burden off myself, and go from there? I don't know. So speaking to myself as well, I need to maybe take some more classes, get a little more experience, and shore up areas that I'm not great at. On the off chance that I might decide one day, hey, I do want to promote up higher. Great. And if it never comes to fruition, cool. I took a few more classes. I got to see what my bosses kind of see at a different level and how we can work together. Great. So consider that as well. Shooting past that initial goal that you're first thinking of. So don't cut yourself short. Okay. Give yourself some of that latitude and room, and which I'm going to talk about pacing at the end. So where that kind of also leads to, let me see here. Let me explain it the way we're doing it. So my next subject line is, don't just do the minimum to get promoted. Meaning, and I know I've talked to this on episodes, other episodes, if you're just doing enough to just get yourself in the ballpark of getting on a list, whether it's at the very bottom or you do a great on the written and you just had enough to get through on the points as far as maybe classes or however your process works, it's very different how each department does things. If you're just doing the minimum, maybe because you're wanting to take this test and you kind of just want to see where you land, sometimes it works out. Maybe you're great at taking written scores and you missed a few opportunities for some classes, and you got on the list. Cool. That's fine. I'm not saying that's not acceptable. What I'm saying is just keep trying to slowly do that grind to be somewhere a little bit higher than just the minimum. And I'll talk about where that pays off in the future. Let's see. So with our process, because I know there's people that I work with that listen to this, and I don't advertise it because why would I advertise that I was on a low band as a captain? But I also don't shy away from it. Meaning, for context, we have a test now every 6 months for a captain, just about. It's not exact. It's just kind of, it's somewhat like that. My personal opinion is that's ridiculous. I understand what needs to be done. I'm a captain at a level I don't see beyond my higher department, and there's way more probably going on than I'm aware of. So I might be undermining my knowledge here, but on the context, what it looks like is, stand by. Okay, geez, freaking dogs, man. All right, so let me get myself back here. So, like I said, every 6 months we were testing. In the short context of it, when I took my test for this test that I got promoted on almost 8 years ago now, my list lasted almost 3.5 years. It's pretty crazy because that was at a time when we took our test and they lasted for 2 years. So wherever you landed, it was a 2-year process before the next one was going to come up, or that list died in 2 years. So the testing, whatever, you know what I'm saying? It was a 2-year list versus a 6-month or so list that we use now. So I took that test as a firefighter paramedic. the same time I took the engineer written. They were about 2 months apart because they're pretty similar tests. So I figured, hey, why not just try it, get good at practicing. 3 years later, I got promoted to captain off that list. I had promoted to be an engineer between that time. So if you actually look at my whole testing process, my department doesn't even know I was an engineer on paper or a driver for just over 2 years. That's just the way it worked for me. So yes, I do own it saying, yeah, I was on a lower band. I was on the lowest band you could be on our promotion test. And do I wear that? I don't sit there and advertise it because I don't think the testing process is a great prediction of how somebody will be. I've seen band one captains that are turds, and I've seen band five, our lowest band, that do okay, fine too. So I don't think it's a great judge, but you have to have something to kind of categorize people and do things. I'm not going to go into and break down our department testing process, but all I'm saying is it could be a little better the way we handle things. But what I'm saying is try to keep chugging along, and I'm getting to the next point where I'm going to talk about pacing out your promotion path in all your experiences. And you need to be able to look and say, well, I came out band one or band two, so I'm awesome, I'm great. I don't know. Because when you look at our testing process, it's a written test and then a packet that's in a promotability packet. You know, some people jokingly say it's a book of lies, which it's not flawless, but you can come out on that list pretty decent, not having taken very many classes and things, but you've done other projects and things like that, that when it comes down to the brass tacks, those little project things and everything aren't going to save your ass on a fire ground. That's just the way it is. So however you guys test, however that works for you, just always shoot higher than just the minimum. And sometimes it just lands that way. Sometimes you're like, oh, I barely got that class in. It qualified me. Cool. In the background, you're kind of working. So people say, oh, you sat on that list for 3 years and you didn't do anything. Nah. The year before that list died, I had already been studying again for a year. Because I thought that list would die. There's no way I'm going to get promoted. I had already filled out the application for the next test when I got the phone call to pick it up off the old list. So that's just trying to keep yourself ready. So that year helped me to get ready when I did get promoted to go, oh, great, for the last year I've been in the books again trying to study, thinking I was going to need to take another written and go through the whole process. So that it worked out. That worked out for me. But when I talk about what your background looks like, you can apply pretty much everything you've done until you got hired onto the fire service and incorporate it into the fire service somehow. As an example, have you worked in a restaurant? Have you worked in sales, automotive repair, whatever it might be? You can attribute those things because you've talked to people, worked with your hands. However it may be that you've come to that experience, you can bring that forward as well. It's not just about taking classes and getting brownie points for little projects and things like that. It's looking at your whole being and whole experience in life as it is. I mean, there's some great things that you don't even know about people and you're like, oh, that person races hot rods or they do this or they know how to do that. And you're like, geez, really? We look at each other like we're just firefighters. But there's a lot of people with a lot of other life experience and secret talents and trades and everything else that they have. So what is it that you have? You know, sometimes for departments that have interviews and do things like that, when you go to promote, obviously you can kind of bring that in as well too. Don't just make it all focused on just what you've done in the fire service. It's nice to have people that are well-rounded. Case in point, I was fortunate enough to grow up in a body shop. It's right now about to be third generation. My brother's going to take it over. My grandfather, my dad, and now my brother. And my brother and I grew up around that every summer. That's pretty much where we spent our summers because my parents both worked there. And yeah, we went on vacation, things like that. But I learned a lot from being 13, 14, 15, working in a body shop in the summer, doing small tasks and small responsibilities. But those are the small responsibilities where you start to learn, and I probably didn't do a good job when I was younger, that detail matters. And you guys will be shocked, but I already have episode 22 laid out, and it's going to be talking about detail and how those things compound to make things work better. But enough about that. So growing up in a body shop, you learn customer service. I would drive people. Once I had my driver's license, a little bit older, when I was like 16 or so, I would take customers home and you start to learn how to talk to people and drive and things like that. So that part was cool. That was just my experience. Explorers, if you've been in an Explorer program, that was huge. I did that with the department here in Southern California. That was huge. I did that for almost 5 years. So about 15 and a half to 21, you know, amazing experience. While doing that, you're going and getting a degree. Education, huge. I also worked on an ambulance for a while, trying to get my hours so I could go eventually pacing out my plan to go to paramedic school. Paramedic school was the last thing I wanted to do on my own before getting hired to market myself. But at the time, I went to paramedic school in 1999. At the time, and it still kind of is, that was a big thing to have. In fact, that's what got me hired by my first department, was by having that. And in between that, in California and another agency or departments and states, I'm sure, going to a private fire academy, like a college fire academy, was another thing to put on my resume. And then from there, you can go be a reserve firefighter at some departments. And then eventually was paramedic school. And I even applied twice to one school that said I didn't have enough time on the ambulance. And then I finally got into one of the harder schools, at least I think it is, for Southern California. I ended up getting getting into Mount Sachs paramedic program. It's out in Walnut, California here. 99, damn, 25 years already. Shit, I'm getting old. Not easy. Like, paramedic school isn't easy, but when you have a class of 35 and 7 of you finish, I either had a really crappy run of people in my class, which I know that's not true, but that shows you how tough some things can be. And depending how bad you want it and situations, or maybe some divine intervention or luck too, you can make it happen, but it's sketchy, right? Like, I look at that and I go, damn, that's a lot to try to get there. Now, as hard as we all try to get hired on the fire service, it's almost just as hard as we need to keep pushing through it, especially when we learn to promote. What else do I have on here? So the other day, here's a case in point story. 2 days ago, I worked at a station, very kind of slow in my battalion, a couple calls a day. And it would be very easy, right, to say, oh, I'm visiting captain. It's already a known slow station. Everything's pretty well maintained. You kind of go through the routine every day, handle a couple calls. Right now it's March in Southern California. The weather's nice, like perfect. The hills are still green. But all of us know that work out here, that in a few months they're going to turn brown. It's going to get hot. And then we start getting brush fires, depending on where you work. Not only that, you just get the long haul of heat and calls, and wherever you work, right, it just seems like there's an uptick during the summertime as well. It's very easy to go, I'm just going to sit there, and even though, my point was, there was a probationary firefighter who's been on the job 2 months there. It's kind of a sucky spot for them to be. So they get really good, right, at like, oh, we'll clean the toilet and mop this, and they do their drill. But who's really picking up the ball and running with it? So, I think I'm kind of throwing myself off here in a second. Oh, so wherever rank you are right now, you almost want to grab this person. Like, we sat down and I talked to this kid for like an hour over a cup of coffee, kind of talking about this, depending, and asking him what his goals were, what he wanted to do in the fire service. He had a similar background, had already worked small department elsewhere, had done a few things to prep that. And then I'm like, okay, here's the long term, looking at a kid who's been on for 2 months and 24 years. Both of us are sitting across from each other. And I'm just trying to say, like, if I was to redo it, here's what I would do. What is your goal? What do you like? And trying to show them how to push through on that. We do a lot right now with talking about recruiting and how hard it is to recruit people. I don't know. I look at all that stuff that I did when I got hired and I go, that was a lot of crap. It took me 6 years doing all that stuff to try to get hired. So maybe I just really did suck. Maybe I don't even belong in this career. I don't know. I think what happens with our recruiting stuff is this process takes so damn long that some people just get turned off by it. So I think we're also losing some good people because the process takes so long and they either get picked up by another agency or they kind of lose interest. Now, if you lose interest after only testing a few times, maybe you weren't cut out to be a firefighter, at least a full-time career, however you want to do it, however you want to do it. I just look at full-time career stuff. Because if we're having things like signing bonuses, because we can't get enough people to take the test or qualified, or you want them to come work for you specifically, I never thought I would see the day that that happens. Hell, in our area, in Los Angeles County, we have small agencies that we're surrounded by as well. I just saw last week a promotional lateral engineer for an agency that's, I don't know, four or five stations, full-time paid department, lateral engineer. So you don't come in as a firefighter, you come in as a driver. Now that's saying something. Are they cutting edge or something? Maybe. Or is it just that bad of a time period right now? I don't know. So back to don't just do the minimum to get promoted. Have a goal and have a plan and pace out that stuff. My personal opinion is in our agency, you go from firefighter, paramedic. It's not necessarily a promotion. It's a bonus, but the experience, engineer to captain. And you don't have to be an engineer to be a captain. It used to be pretty difficult not to be one, not to be an engineer, a driver to get to captain. But since we've changed our testing process, we have people promoting that are firefighters. And I'm not negating and saying that that is bad. But I do think, personal opinion only, especially after being a medic for a long time, that you should have a little bit more experience, whether it is paramedic, hazmat, USAR, urban search and rescue, or you decided to promote to engineer before you promote to captain. It is very tough, at least in, I speak specifically for Southern California, and I know if there's other agencies that are like, oh, you're full of crap, you guys are screwed up being medics and incorporating EMS in the fire service. I get it. That's just how it is in our area. That's the way it always has been, at least not always has been. That's the way it's going to be. That's a big part of it. At least it's been that way for a decent amount of time. And very easy to say, watch Emergency, the TV show. Almost 50 years ago, this has been on the plate for Southern California area and other areas throughout this country. Not everybody, but there's a difference. I think if I was to just pick, my opinion would be try to do something else that helps give you that experience, which will then translate to what happens when you actually do get promoted. So as far as your experience level, how to handle calls and what people think of you, fair or not, about how they know what kind of background you have. Here's something. Have a plan, which we've talked about. I don't need to beat that up. And a potential date that you would like to be promoted by. Now, obviously, you can't control when your agency promotes. If you're on a specific rhythm where it's like, you know, every February and every October they test, or every, you know, once a year, every February, whatever it might be, then plan accordingly and have a realistic time frame of when you would like to be promoted. My initial one after I decided maybe being a firefighter medic and climbing into an ambulance when needed for ALS calls and the physical task of it so much after having a couple kids, maybe I should look at promoting. So I gave myself, okay, yeah, it'd be cool. Be a driver, be an engineer for a little while. But my initial realistic goal was, be a captain by the time I'm 40. I got hired at 25. So halfway through my career, promote to captain. Maybe that's a little early, but not by today's standards. That was kind of my goal. I missed it by a year. Fine, whatever. It wasn't a big deal. But just march it out based on how your department promotes, if you can, you know? So, and in between all that time, give yourself pace, right? Like we love to say, we're going to pace things out. We like to use that at least in, that's a pretty universal term for the fire service and military and things like that, where you have your primary plan. P for primary. you got kind of a marathon pace where you've laid out a goal. You've incorporated some of the things we're talking about with time frames and taking classes and moving yourself around if you have that ability in your department to gain different experiences. That's kind of your primary. Okay, that's cool. And then all of a sudden your department changes to where, hey, we're going to test every whatever. Now, say cut it in half more often. You're like, oh, if I take one more class, I'll meet the minimum. Okay. Now you're more of an accelerated alternate plan, more of a sprint pace. You're like, ooh, things changed. Now I need to shift gears to try to stay somewhat on my plan, not what everybody else thinks you should do. You've heard me say this before. Don't take the whole, you should promote because we need better people or we need this or you'd be great. If you're just going off of so-and-so got promoted who's a clown and so-and-so says I should promote, it's not going to be that much wind in your sail. You have to have won it yourself. And those are cool little bursts of wind to push you down there, but can't be the only thing you live on. So alternate, right? You got a little bit more of a sprint pace based on maybe it snuck up on you. You had something come up in life that kind of threw you off to where your initial goal, that primary plan was thrown off. And then you got to have a contingency plan. You get those first two in place. Now you got C, contingency. Say you did all this work and for some reason you just had a rough day and you didn't pass the written part or whatever that first obstacle is. And now you're just like, what the hell? You weren't thinking of getting broadsided by that. Now you're off on a contingency plan. Like, wait a second, this wasn't in the cards. Back to square one. Okay. Contingency, step back, take a look at everything like, ugh. Okay, now what do I do? Well, do you get back on the primary path? Probably. I think that would be number one. An emergency plan for E, pace, E. Have an emergency plan. That's probably not a good place to be. And I hearken that to, we have people that either are a firefighter or a firefighter paramedic for a good amount of years, whatever that may be for them. And all of a sudden they're in the do or die situation. Like they have to pass this test. They have to get promoted off this list because they're about to lose it or they're burnt out. That's a bad place to be. If you've already run yourself to the end and all of a sudden you're like burnt out, short with people, crappy bedside manner, whatever it might be, and just because you need to promote and change something or you're pissed because so-and-so got promoted, yeesh, that's a tough spot to be in. Try to avoid being putting yourself in that spot. Now, that sounds great, right? That sounds okay. I think you could agree with me on some of those. And some of it, you're probably yelling at the car in front of you. People are looking at you weird because you're like, this guy's full of crap. He doesn't know what he's talking about. There's some I'm sure we can agree on, right? And based on a recent phone conversation, now you think that every time I tell you guys at the end of these, here's my email or Instagram, you can hit me up and I get back to people. I literally had some person email me and works for a department in Florida and hit me up about how their department is going. And I said, okay, well let's talk. So we talked for probably 45 minutes and the department's saying, and I've had this with multiple people, it's not just this person. So whether it's Florida or Texas or Georgia or whatever it might be, we haven't necessarily experienced this in Southern California, but I don't know everything about every agency. That these departments are growing so fast, whether it's because they went from volunteer to a combo to paid, maybe. Another scenario is an area that is booming, growing so fast because whatever certain amount of people are moving there, housing, building, and now cities are realizing like, oh crap, we got to double the size of our fire department just for safety. Well, what are you going to do? Wait another 2 or 3 years, 4 years, 5 years for the minimum standard for people to take those promotion tests? So the conversation we had was the department is growing so fast. I've had two different conversations like this. They're growing so fast that they have dropped their minimum time on the job to take a promotion supervisor test, whether it's lieutenant, captain, sergeant, whatever, to 2 years. 2 years on the job. And they're not looking at experience where you worked before or anything of that nature. They're just saying like 2 years because we got we need people in these rank positions. And the only way to do that is to cut down the minimum requirement to get those people up so that we can backfill their spots with brand new people. So look at that big picture. Now, granted, would that be everybody? Probably not. But even that is existing or is on the table is a little sketchy. So we talked and we go, what's a solution to that? Well, the solution that I could only come up with during our conversation at the time was something like I just talked about previously, departments lateraling in people in ranked positions. I don't know. That doesn't go well all the time with some departments. Some agencies do it kind of the norm and that's just their culture. Cool. It's not too common. Like you pretty much, if I was to leave a department and go to another one, I'm going to start over. Now, some agencies you can lateral in and it appears fire chiefs. Yeah, I've even seen battalion chiefs, even in California, where they promote battalion chiefs from other agencies and you kind of slide in. Well, that's a little different maybe because it's a little more administrative supervisory role and I can kind of give that grace. But I don't know about bringing in lateral transfer from other agency captains and even drivers. It's a little out there, but if that's your only solution because you need people with experience and there just doesn't happen to be in your current department, you might have to do that. And if that's not on the table, whether it may be because of your union or the city's just not down with that or agency, county agency, whatever you're doing, then I think the only alternative is basically a all-in attitude for those people that you're going to groom to get them up to snuff to be ready to be in that supervisory position. So you got to, one as the person who's like, well, that's the way it's going to be. And I got 2 years on or 3 years on and I don't know what the hell is going to happen. You know, it seems there's got to be some more factors to it. But if you're on that accelerated path because that's kind of what's in front of you and that works and that's what's needed, okay, get that all-in attitude and straight up taking classes and getting all that experience you can, especially if you can be moved around in your agency. Maybe it's a little bit busier part of town. Whatever it might be, try to do that. That's a little more accelerated. That's pretty tough. That's a tough one. I don't have the 100% answer to that, but those are the two solutions we kind of came up with initially. And does it go anywhere? Probably not. They're not listening to some Yahoo from works for an agency in California, but it's cool to have a conversation about it and see like, wow, this stuff goes on. A few more points here and I'll wrap you up. But remember when, like, okay, you've come up with this plan and you're like, here's my paced plan. Here's my time frame. I'm doing all these things. I'm getting myself to these spots specifically if I can to train and go to these parts of my agency that maybe allow me to learn high rise or go on more fires or go on brush fire or whatever specific to your area that allows you to move around. That's cool. And that can be a long-term marathon pace thing. Currently with our agency, if you bid out of your station to another one, you have to remain there for 1 year. You're not allowed to transfer out or move for a year. A year goes by pretty fast. And if you're trying to get somewhere with experience based on some specific areas, a year there really doesn't do much for you. You know, you need a couple years to really, really hone your craft on some specific areas that you want to go to. Let's see. But so my point is, if you're in that position and you're trying to move yourself around, take classes, do little projects or whatever needs to be to help you get better to promote, remember passion versus identity. I've even been accused of, I make this my identity too much and I'm not taking care of family. I'm like, well, whatever, dude, piss off. You don't know my family situation, but thanks for the heads up. You know, I love this career. I love my job. I love this. And yes, is it an identity? Sure. Sometimes you can't get away from it because that's how people know you. Case in point, sports, right? It's a cross-section of society. My current kids' softball teams, there's a couple deputies, sheriffs, and a couple firemen mixed in there. And then there's people that do all kinds of cool stuff. Granted, if we were to stand there and people go, all right, out of this lineup, which one's the fireman? Okay, I have a mustache. If you had to guess and you're a betting person, you'd probably go with that, right? So, duh. I know that, but I don't talk about it to other people. I don't really, I'm there for my kids. So what I'm trying to say is it's cool to have it as your identity. I think it's okay. And it's cool to be passionate. But remember, when you get on the promotion train, you're going to have to put in a lot more hours. You're going to be doing a lot, and it's going to take away from your family time. It just is. It just is. But as long as you've had that talk or that conversation with your family, significant other, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is, and you kind of have them have an understand and a buy-in, definitely will make your thing, this plan easier. And whether that's you got to adjust your time management times to putting in later hours or getting up earlier to study so that you're not sacrificing as much family time. Okay, that's my little family piece for you. But why do you need to have a plan? Well, it's always good to have a plan for everything, right? We plan out everything. We plan what we're going to do on certain situations, how we're going to do things. You should have a plan. If you're flying by the seat of your pants in all aspects of life, I question that. So, but why do you need to promote and have a plan that entails experience and education? I'll never say that experience won't help you. I don't know anybody that would. Straight up, time in the seat or working in a busy area or working in a specific area that does specific knowledge things, you can't replace that. And when it comes to time for you to promote, especially within your agency, from a place that's a one station department to nearly 180 like ours, and even bigger, right? There's even bigger. You want to take away any doubt that your crew might have that you're the person for that position. Now, is there always going to be some doubt and there's always going to be concern to see how you do things and how it's going to translate, right? Because people are going to go, well, when so-and-so was a firefighter or a driver, engineer, they were cool. Now they promoted a captain. They can't even walk through the doorway because their head's so big. Now they're just a dick and whatever else. You're like, whoa, you know, but most people I see give you a fair shake and basically let you step on your own meat. And it can't be based solely on just your time on the job. Like, we hear it all the time, right, on our job, and I'm probably sure with yours too. Everybody wants to know so-and-so's seniority number or where they've been or what they've done. And then you can almost hear the maxi break set, right? It's like, psh, so-and-so got promoted? Okay. Well, if you've gone through the whole process and you've put yourself out there, guess what? People are going to be pissed that you got promoted. They're going to be mad that this topic isn't about that, but I'm just giving you a little touch of it. Some people are going to be pissed that you're promoted or that maybe you're their boss now. Okay, well, you need to try to win them over. And you stand your ground at the same time. I'm not a big person to apologize. It's like, woe is me. Sorry, I got promoted because of this. No. I don't think you should do that because it undermines any respect that you are trying to reach later in the future. And, you know, you're going to have those people that have been like, well, I've been on longer than so-and-so, I should be promoted. Well, did you put any time in? Did you take the test? What else have you done other than show up to work for 10 years? You know, obviously you're not going to say that to them, but, you know, you just run with it and go, hey, okay, are you thinking about promoting? Well, I just went through this process and it's kind of funky here and there, but let's look at what you have, and you almost become their mentor if they're willing to let you, and you kind of help pace them out a little bit, and you get a little deposit in the respect box, hopefully, for them. But if you don't have that experience or education, work on it. I'm always going to say it. Work on it. If you're thinking about promoting, get that experience and education. You want to take that doubt away, because we do it to each other in rank too. When I say, oh, so-and-so got promoted, okay, I'll go let them tell me, like, I'll ask them, where have you been? Where have you worked? What have you done? Blah, blah, blah. I don't just assume that I know that based on a number, their seniority number, that, oh, that's all they know. No, they could have worked at another place for a long time. They could be, hell, we have chiropractors and all kinds of stuff on our job that I would never know that's what they did on the side. Educated people. Doesn't mean they don't know what the hell they're doing. They just have a different angle that they came in. You basically, when I look at that subject, I could put it in a words of, you want to set yourself up for this. We want that person as our company officer. if you had a crew that was basically like excited that you're coming there, or maybe they don't know you and you come in there, and then after a few months of how you do things, they're happy to tell people who they work for or who their captain is, or maybe they don't brag to other people about it, but the way you handle yourself, they kind of get some of that gleaming too, and then it works the opposite way. You're fortunate enough to walk into a crew that's already established and awesome, and now you're riding their coattails. You crap on that or screw that up, they will let you know. Especially if you got put into a position that you didn't really have any control, or they didn't have control of you being there. You know, that's a tough little hurdle to try to get over. You screw up a good thing as a company officer that they already had. And I'm not talking a good thing like, oh, we play pickleball all day and we wear shorts and a t-shirt and we don't cook or whatever the hell it is. That's not a good plan, personally. But I'm talking crews that are high and tight, that love to train and do all that, and you're the opposite and you undermine that, you deserve to get bitch slapped then for doing that. And so don't do that. Take what they have and run with it and work your way into working on at their program. If you already have that pre-existing like good thing and then you have something you can add, you're going to slowly inject that too as well. And then when you guys can get all on the same page and be respectful to each other and like, yeah, that's our company officer. Yes, that's my crew the opposite way. Dude, it does not get any better than that. And when you can build that too, huge. And yes, I am nerding out about it because we have a 30-year window. I'm just going to use what we have, a 30-year window to always try to work towards that. And this is happening a lot in my department right now because it's that time of year. We are losing a ton of people out the front door, hanging up their gear, walking out the door, off into the sunset, retiring. Like big people in our department. And people, I don't know everybody in my department. Not everybody knows me. They don't know like what you've contributed. I know there's people that I don't know that are hanging up their gear that did an awesome job for the 30, 25, 30 years, whatever they were with our department, that you almost go, man, I wish I knew what's that person's story. Like they had a ton of people show up for them to see this ceremony. I'm pretty sure they were an integral part of this piece of life and piece of this agency. And now they're off the race, off to the sunset, moving on. And it's our job to continue that with our little personal inflections on things and doing what's right for the overall mission. You want to hear about mission? Go back to the episode. I don't even have it in front of me what episode that was not too long ago about the mission. So, all right, I'm going to step off my little high horse here. Okay, so constantly evaluate yourself. What do I mean? Just because I've been a company officer for a little bit of time now doesn't mean I set the maxes and I'm coasting the rest of the time. Like I said, I need to anticipate that I might want to promote. I should take a few more classes. Whether I take them and nothing happens and I just decide to stay where I'm at, cool. I've educated myself. Case in point, if I was to look at anything that I would want to focus on and try to make happen, my weak point is hazmat. I've said that before. Do I feel like I can handle a hazmat incident and set it up and keep my crew safe and do the basics and necessities to start with? Yeah. But beyond that, boat anchor. You know, I don't have enough. I just gonna need the experts to tell me where do I fit in to help them to accomplish the goal. That would be training that I would like to put myself through. And people go, oh yeah, a lot of people do that at the end for our department because you get a bonus and then it spikes your retirement and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I'm cool with the training and not necessarily going to that post position spot. And that doesn't really help my department if they just train me up and I never go to a spot. But if I'm able to work relief over there or overtime or trades with people and it helps because you have to be specially trained, all right, cool. That works. That's something that I'm constantly evaluating myself for and waiting to see if I can get myself into that. If it happens, great. If it doesn't, it's not the end of the world. But that's that constant evaluation of myself. So how all these points that we've talked about now for a little bit, how do we achieve this? Well, you work your butt off. Okay, you work your butt off. And remember, you're going to have some people that you're bringing along with you. Mainly family or friends or things like that. When you're like, hey, I need to study because I have a written test on April 1st. Phew, I need to study until then. Let's set that up. How can we make this work? You're going to work your butt off by taking education, by working on your education, classes, reading books, podcasts, whatever you want to do that helps you to get ready. You're going to work on how you're perceived. You're already doing that anyway. And your character. You know, I'm not life coaching you here, but I'm just saying those are all the things that, you know, you'll have so-and-so who's a hot mess, and all of a sudden they flip the switch and become a captain. Now they're dropping the hammer on wearing a uniform and all that stuff. Dude, that stuff is very tough to accomplish too. How about not skipping ranks? I don't know. Is that a hot button subject for your agency? Is it good to skip ranks? Do you even have a rank between firefighter and the supervisor, like lieutenant or captain? Not all agencies do. And then, you know, that leads into just getting you on a list. Now, there's a whole other animal we can talk about. Like, what do we do after we're on the list? And there's other episodes there. And that's something that we could talk about forever on this. And I'm not really opening that up right now. But it's a lot of just getting yourself ready. Whatever it takes to get yourself ready for your specific test to promote, you're gonna need to do that. And try not to just focus on the minimums. Try to shoot past that. You know, it's very specific to your department, so I can't give you all the insides on that one. Just try to put out a plan, and the better you can communicate to people, like, this is my plan because I need to lock it down for another month or two while I study, the better things are going to be perceived and worked out and all those things. So, and just because you made it on a list and everything doesn't mean you're really ready. Okay, remember, you should be, right? I mean, that is a gauge. Otherwise, why the hell have a test? But it was just funny having a recent conversation with somebody who was working at our station and newly promoted engineer, and he has a newly promoted captain. And we're just talking like, how's it going? How's the driving thing going? Cool. Who's your captain? Oh, so-and-so. Cool. Okay. You know, right? Even our big agency, we know the people that got promoted recently, especially when they're in your battalion or your division. So I go, oh, cool. How is so-and-so? Oh, great. He's a good captain. Yeah, he's good. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. What do you mean? Like, what do you mean he's good? Well, you know, he does this and that, and it's just kind of like basic little things. I'm like, well, I would hope so. That's what I'm thinking to myself. And then, oh yeah, he's going to be great. He's going to be great. Okay. Have you been on any like big calls with him? He's been a captain there for about a month. Have you been on any big calls other than small ones? Well, no. Okay. But he's a nice guy. He's a really good guy. Awesome. He's a good captain because he's a nice guy. You guys have heard me say this. Nice guy, but he's a nice guy, but you don't want to work for him. You wouldn't give him something major responsibility. What is it? I think I had too much coffee that day because I'm like, really? He's a good captain just because he's a nice guy? Well, I go, okay, I'm not trying to bust your balls, what I was telling the firefighter or the engineer, the driver. I'm just saying, hey, wait till he's on a big incident and then we'll revisit that question. Same way I'm sure people said to me, this freaking bozo's a captain? Yeah, he's a nice guy, but we haven't seen him prove himself. Let's hold back the jumbo applause for people when we haven't seen exactly what they might actually do on an incident. Then we'll talk about if they're a good person. Yeah, they're a great person. They're great. They treat you well. But are they there for the mission? I don't know. Maybe. It's going to take time to find out. Okay. Why am I passionate about doing this right? Because there is no smoke and mirrors. If you don't have it together, guess what? It's going to be apparent. And people know. Right? You guys have all heard the thing, whether it's right or wrong. If you're not in the room and we're talking about somebody, guess who they're talking about? You. Yeah, it sucks, right? Like, that's kind of narcissistic to say, like, oh, if I'm not in the room, they're talking about me. You know what I'm saying. You know what the big picture is. So this job can kill you or your crew. And you can't protect them from everything. But they better feel safe with you in an unsafe environment. If you don't have that at a minimum, you better ask somebody that will give you the cold, hard truth of what you need to do to tighten it up. Find that person. Like, you've heard me talk about mentors and things like that. There's almost like two types of mentors. The one that's going to be good cop, bad cop. Yeah, you're doing great, buddy. Here's what you should do to get promoted. And then you need the hammer mentor. Or you just need one that's going to give you the cold, hard truth. Stone cold killer. That's going to tell you that's respectable, number one, that you respect. Not just some person that you're like, this person says I suck because I didn't do this. No. I'm talking somebody that's somewhat of a friend and a mentor that will tell you the truth, but also guide you in the proper way to do things. So, a lot of stuff here today. Kind of touched on all kind of few things. But I'm also thinking here, let me look here in my notes before I mess anything up. Oh, I wouldn't call this a tip of the day. I haven't figured out what I want to say at the end here, but practical-wise, I love all the cool little gadgets and gear, and we have all this cool stuff, right, to accomplish our job. But one thing I do carry every day with me is, well, two things. One is a folder that has all my job aids and paperwork and things that just to help accomplish the mission a little better. Incident report paperwork and things like that for civilians and things. Injury reports if we're out and about and somebody gets injured. So it's like a folder that I carry with me, or a briefcase, whatever you want to call it. You might already have this, but also carry a little jump bag. Small, not too crazy. And won't do a great explanation of it here verbally. So I'm going to put some pictures on the Instagram account here in the next few days, showing you what it is. It's basically a small bag that if we were gone for the whole operational period, I could operate out of it and be fine. It's a small little bag. I keep some things I keep in it. A small little screwdriver, like a tiny Craftsman screwdriver. I use that to help reset fire alarms, older ones that have a set screw and things like that. Because I don't want to have to dig around in the toolbox and the engine or the truck. I just carry it and I go get it out of my little jump bag. Creature comfort things that might be specific to you, gum, seeds, dip, whatever it is that you do. I keep a little bit of cash in there, a writing utensil, and some a pad of paper. I even have a spare set of laces for my wildland boots in case one snaps. Phone charging cable. I keep an extra t-shirt in there in case we're on a fire or an incident that where you're just sweating through everything and I can throw my extra t-shirt on. I even keep an extra hood. So fire hood that we put on underneath our helmet and all that stuff, I keep one on because that's an easy thing to lose. Depending on how you have it set up, or I'm pretty sure if you've been on a minute, you've had those days where it just falls out of the rig or it falls out of your pocket or whatever might happen. You're carrying your gear on it because you get a call as soon as you walk in the door and it falls out. Okay, I keep something like that because it's easy and small to put in there. But you can put whatever you want in there. I'll take some pictures. You'll see it on the Instagram account. So for those of you that follow it, the Fire Officer Project on Instagram, it's all spelled out like that. You type that in, it's going to come up. I'll put a picture of everything I have there. And then I'll probably do another picture with the briefcase thing I was talking about, just to separate it out a tiny bit. That's the Instagram account. Also, it has been a couple months since I put out the last episode. So from then until now, 20,000 downloads. So thank you very much for everybody that has listened, has word of mouth passed it on. It just helps motivate me to do more. And it is amazing to see something like that, 20,000 downloads, just on this 21 or 22 episodes I've put out. The conversations I've had with people is amazing. You can see where this can go, and this community is awesome. It's cool to see and hear from people all the time. And more of this stuff is popping up. I've noticed more podcasts are coming out, more things are being said, and I feel like it's important that we all share each other's stuff. It's huge. Just getting the message out. It is not a race or a competition or any of this. I mean, most of us that aren't even doing this for money. It's just a great knowledge base to pass on, see how things are done. Egos and chest thumping is kind of cool every once in a while, right? But if you listen to all these things, they're kind of the same message. But it's pretty awesome. So that's all the following stuff. Instagram. I also have a website, thefireofficerproject.com. It has links to all the podcasts, way to email me, some other pictures and things like that if you want to check that out. And then if you're interested in private coaching or mentoring, contact me one of those ways. Even on my IG account or Instagram account, I'm pretty sure I put my phone number up there because whatever. Somebody starts acting like a wackadoo, then I just block them. But I check my email and all that stuff. I'll eventually get back to you. If you're interested in any of that coaching or mentoring stuff, I'm down. If you're interested in just having a conversation, I'm down with that too. So until next time, like I said, I have episode 22 out. Sorry, not out, but written and good to go. So I'll either knock that out today or sometime in the near future. Stay safe and keep moving forward.